السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. علماء الكرام، respected brothers, we are fortunate that we have today amongst us مولانا أيوب كاشفي دامت بركاتهم. He was with us in Darul Uloom in the 1960s and he was a very close friend of mine. Excellent character, excellent behavior, very, very dedicated student at that time. And since his return, it's almost over 40 years that he has been engaged in teaching and educating and even training teachers, doing methodology and other aspects of teaching. Students of Darul Uloom used to go to Benoni, where he used to conduct his classes. And he is at present the vice president of the Jamiatul Ulama of Transvaal, and he is the head of the Talimi Board of the Jamiatul Ulama. Their work has been so well recognized, even in other parts of the world, that there are invitations to them to come and conduct those classes and teach them how to teach. Now, someone who has been so dedicated and for the past 40 years has been serving the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but a very, very humble, unassuming person, remains quiet and people will not even recognize that he's got such knowledge. Obviously, in the next 15-20 minutes, you won't be able to really get that much that we would expect of him. But it is a pleasure to have him here. Therefore, I had requested yesterday that since he is coming to Durban, he should give us some nasihats. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept all his service, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keep him in good health, give him long life, because these type of ulama and students, or these type of ulama, unfortunately now, are very few in South Africa. We are getting a lot of new students qualifying, coming into the field, but it will take them a long, long time before they can also get that wisdom and that teaching experience and that expertise as these people of the caliber of Hazrat Maulana Ayub Sahab have. So not wishing to take any more of your time, I call upon Maulana Ayub Sahab and Barakatum to give us some valuable pieces of nasihat.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wal aakhiratu lil muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم كما تحب وترضى عبد ما تحب وترضى. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم كما تحب وترضى عبد ما تحب وترضى. Respected علماء الكرام, my elders, I don't know whether I fit into the shoes of what Hazrat Maulana has said regarding me, but nevertheless, being an ordinary student of Deen, Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to make some sort of khidmat. My respected elders, Allah Rabbul Izzat, out of His infinite mercy, when there was nothing besides Him, there was only His Zat in this, and through His knowledge, He created this world. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is unlimited and is very far-fetched. So, He created this whole creation, and amongst this creation, He created such a makhluk which surpasses all other creations, and that is the creation of Hazrat Insan, who is regarded as Ashraful Makhlukat. And the reason for This being regarded as Ashraf al-Makhluqat is because of knowledge, because of ilm. When Allah Rabbul Izzat created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, so prior to his creation, he made it known to the Malaika that I am going to create such a creation. The Malaika had the doubts and they said that, Ya Allah, are you going to create such a creation? Who is going to go around shedding blood and making your nafarmani? Allah Rabbul Izzat said that you do not know what I know. And he created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And to prove his point, he asked the Malaika certain questions which they were not able to answer. And then he asked Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah Ta'ala put this knowledge in him and he was able to answer. And it is because of this knowledge and intelligence which Allah Rabbul Izzat has placed in the heart of the man that he surpasses all other creations. My respected elders and brothers, there are two types of knowledge which we go through. One is the worldly knowledge. And that worldly knowledge, with the rahmat of Allah Rabbul Izzat, man has used his intelligence to create such things which will make his life easy in this world. And today, whatever we see in front of us, all these gigantic buildings, all the gigantic influences that have taken place, it is because of this intelligence which Allah Rabbul Izzat has given us. And the purpose of this intelligence is that use it so that you may be able to recognize me and fulfill my commandments. But unfortunately, man being weak is not able to do so. That is why Allah Rabbul Izzat said, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were that type of knowledge which we regard as divine knowledge which emanates directly from Allah Ta'ala. And that knowledge which emanates directly from Allah Ta'ala is the most perfect knowledge. The knowledge that you and I have accumulated with our intelligence is faulty at times. We falter in our thinking, in our assumptions. And that is where we go wrong. But the knowledge which Allah Ta'ala has sent through the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is the most perfect knowledge, and it is only that knowledge which will be the criterion of judgment in the Akhirah. That ilm, that hidayat which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came, and we practice upon it, we follow it, then our success will be in this life and in Akhirah. My respected elders, I don't want to delve much into it, but since Hazrat Maulana has mentioned that we are trying to do some type of work in this world where Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with this knowledge, we know for the fact that when the first Muslims came into this country in 1654, after Jan van Riebeeck came into this country, and those Muslims came as prisoners into Robben Island from Indonesia, Malaysia, those areas, because they had fought against the Dutch East India Company, and they sent them as prisoners to Robben Island. Amongst that group, there were ulama, there were members of the royal family, learned people, And the first thing they did when they came into that island was to lay the foundation of a musalla, lay the foundation of an ibadat khana. Thereafter, the second most important thing they did, that there were a lot of other ordinary prisoners who had no knowledge of deen, they started teaching them. They started the maktabs. And after a few years, when they were freed from Robben Island, and they were given permission to go into the various parts of the country, so they spread into the Western Cape, and they started with this musalla of theirs and the makatibs. In the late 1800s, when the British government sent some people from India, like Hyderabad, Madras, Calcutta, to come and work in the sugarcane fields of Natal, many of the Muslims that came with, their first fikr, the first worry, was that we must create an ibadat khana. And thereafter, create a maktab, so that we can teach our offspring, teach our fellow human beings. And it is this ni'mat of Allah Rabbul Izzat, my respected elders and brothers, not boasting about it, but it is because of this ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has flourished this community of South Africa. If you go into other parts of the country, in other parts of the world, we've been to Pakistan just 2 weeks ago on the invitation from some of our senior ulama there, that please come and show us, come and teach us how to run the makatib system. We were very apprehensive that what do you go and teach a Muslim country where there are thousands of Darul Ulooms, hundreds and thousands of students coming out from there. What are we going to show them? But my respected elders, when we went there, when we had discussion with our elders and what we saw there, it was completely shocking. That a country like Pakistan, where it was formed in the name of Islam, understand, there is no dini talim besides the Darul Ulooms. You go into the out countries, you go into the interior of the countries, there is no deen at all. There is no makatib, there is no talim. Likewise, when we went to other countries like Indonesia, we are proud to say Indonesia is the biggest country in the world as far as Muslim population is concerned, but when it comes to talim, there is nothing. So we are very, very fortunate in this country that whether a person is holding the highest position in a country, whether he is a minister, whether he is the chief justice, whether he is a doctor, whether he is a lawyer, whether he is an engineer, whether he is an alim, whether it is the ordinary person working, whether he is a businessman, all of us went through the cycle of the maktab system. And it is this maktab ta'alim. It is not all engulfing, but it is sufficient to sustain us as true Muslims. And it is because of this ta'alim, today we find that not we saying it, people out of the country are saying it, that the Islam that we find in this country is so vibrant. And I'm quoting Maulana Rafi Ahmad Usmani Madrasillahu Alim, where in his Darul Uloom we had our workshops. He says, these people that have come to you, appreciate them. What they have done in their country is unparalleled in the Muslim world. These are his words. That if you go to South Africa, you'll find three very glaring things. One is you'll find the masajids. The masajids are so well kept that you won't find it in any other part of the world beside the Haramain. Secondly, they have instituted such ta'aleem amongst the people that whether they are the most educated or whether they are less fortunate, but all of them have got some form of Islamic ta'aleem in their hearts. And thirdly, he said that the generosity of the South African Muslim is unparalleled in the world. This was 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago we heard this. To cut everything short, once I was traveling to Cape Town, and at the airport, I was about to read the Asr Namaz. I felt, let me read my Asr Namaz before boarding the plane. So when we lay the Musalla, somebody tapped me on the back and said, Maulana, are you going to read Namaz? I said, yes. So can you just wait for me? I just want to bring my Jai Namaz. He came, he joined me with that Namaz. Who he turned out to be? The late Ismail Muhammad, Advocate Ismail Muhammad. Anyway, while we were sitting and talking, he tells me, Maulana, you may be surprised and you may be thinking in your mind that this person here has got no beard, he's such a high profile person, he's coming to read Namaz here. He said, that is the blessing of the maktab that we studied in. Later he became the Chief Justice of South Africa. Once, we were sitting in Cape Town with the late Abdullah Umar, who was a Minister of Justice at that stage. We had some work with him, so he invited us to his house. When we went to his house, it was Maghrib time, so he tells us that, Maulana, either you can read Namaz in a masjid, which is 10 minutes from here where I'm living, or you can read it here in the house. So we prefer to rather read it here in the house. He had a baqaida jamaat khana in his house. And 5 times namaz should be read in that house. And the late Sheikh Nazim was with us, rahmatullah alayhi. So he addresses Sheikh Nazim and says, this is your people's effort that has brought this deen into our homes. So my respected elders, ulama, Allah Ta'ala has given us a great ni'mat in this country. But what do we find? That slowly, slowly, this ni'mat of ta'aleem, which we have received from our elders, our pious predecessors, our businessmen, our learned people who have put these structures in place, we are slowly, slowly losing it. And the reason is that we are giving more preference to dunya than akhirah. But let me assure you, my friends, that this dunya is a temporary world, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. It is but a very short span. Thereafter, it's going to be destroyed. And what will come to our assistance? I was telling the other day to some of our students who had made Quran khatam in the madrasa, that look after this Quran. Read it. Read it how your ustad has taught you. And every day, at least read 1 page a day, if not much more. Because this is the very Quran that will assist you in your grave. And it comes in the hadith that when the farishtas will come and question this person, and when the malaika of punishment will come in, and when they want to punish this person, there is another person there who is trying to save this person. Whenever they want to punish him, he comes in front. Afterwards they go away, then this deceased person asks, who are you? Why are you trying to assist me? Says, I am the Quran which you looked after me in the world, today I am looking after you. So my respected elders and brothers, let us cherish, let us take this ni'mat of Allah Rabbul Izzat and look after it. See that our children attend our madaris, makatib on a regular basis, punctually. We have lame excuses not to send our children to the madaris, to the makatib. Schoolwork is too much. This is too much. Why are we depriving that very child whom we show love and we take him out of the madrasa on the day of Qiyamah when he'll stand before Allah Rabbul Izzat and he'll point towards the father and say, Ya Allah, my father deprived me of this knowledge which you are questioning me today. What are we going to answer? And the enemies of Islam have understood this. I want to finish off on this point, that once when the Kosovo debacle was taking place, where the Muslims were being massacred, Jamiat Ulama Transvaal, we decided to go and assist them. See how we can help those Muslim brothers. So we had to go via the United Nations. You got permission from the United Nations, you could go there. So we took permission, four of us, and we went. But we had to go via Rome direct to Albania. So in the plane, while there were others, it was a small plane of 38 people. So there were two people from Austria. They were also going to assist the Muslims in some way or the other. Their government had allocated $3 million to see how you can help the Muslims there. So while talking, one of them turned out to be a Jew, and he called himself a Reformed Jew. I don't know what is a Reformed Jew. Every Jew is an enemy of Islam. Anyway, while talking, he says, you know, we know a lot about Islam. We have studied Islam in depth. So much so that I'm confident that you people who have studied Islam don't know that much of what we know. Then he says that, you know what, we cannot destroy Islam. So one of my colleagues asked him, why? What is the reason? He says, the Creator himself has mentioned in the Quran that he is going to safeguard Islam. So how can we destroy it? Our rockets can't reach the sky. Our atom bombs and hydrogen bombs can't reach it. But the promises which the Almighty had made in the Quran and which were fulfilled during the time of Muhammad, and he reads also sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No iman, but he reads it. He knows every terminology of Islam. He says, we have studied it so well that as long as the Muslim abides and fulfills the commandment of Allah, the rahmat, the blessing, the mercy will come down upon them. Now, how to prevent that? How to prevent that? We have embarked upon four things. One is, we have put you people, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on interest. Take interest, the Almighty's blessing won't come unto you people. Secondly, we have made your women naked and put them into the streets. In other words, all these fashions and all that, which today we admire, understand, they have taken our women out from the four walls of the homes and put them into the streets. Thirdly, we have made you habitual to eating haram food. And then he gives us the incident of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. He says, you know Hajjaj ibn Yusuf? He said, yes. So when he was made the governor of Makkah, And there was a tribe in Makkah that whenever a governor came and they disliked him or he was cruel or he did not fulfill his commandments, they should make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat and Allah should remove them. So when Hajjaj ibn Yusuf came into the seat of governorship, the first thing he did, he invited all the villages around Makkah, including that those tribal people who were very close to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And he gave them a sumptuous feast. After they had eaten, they were very happy. Food was so lovely. He asked them that, have you eaten to your full? They said, yes. Then he said, Alhamdulillah, I don't fear that your people's dua will be accepted now. People were all surprised and shocked. He says, because you have eaten, haram food has gone into your bellies and your duas will not be accepted. My respected elders, that is how the enemies plan against us. But we have a far superior tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us every aspect of deen. If we try and follow it, inshallah, the enemies will not harm us in any way. But because we have left the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today over 1 billion Muslims go in any part of the world, they are all in difficulties. Why? Because we have left the tariqah. And the only way of coming back is ruju ila Allah. Turn towards Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala accept our efforts, our duas, and give us a hidayat to fulfill His commandments and to fulfill that way of life which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed in this world. Wa akhir da'wana.